For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about Christian fathers. A home without problems of some kind or another is a fantasy. This is kind of cute. Someone has said that undoubtedly the first man who ever tore a telephone book in two had a teenage daughter. It's not easy. That's why we set aside this day to honor those men who live in their families the love which they have received from our Lord Jesus Christ. We honor those men who make promises and keep them. Men who put their families first and who seek to set an example for those they love. In our scripture for this morning in Luke, the 7th chapter, the 1st through the 10th verses, we see such a man. He was a Roman centurion. We don't know whether he was a father or not. We don't even know his name. But there are some things we do know about him. For one thing, we know he had a tender heart. The centurion had a servant who was quite dear to him. We can speculate that the servant was an older man who had been with the family for many years, and perhaps he even helped to raise the centurion. But now this servant was critically ill, and the centurion was quite upset. He was concerned about his servant, and he wanted something done. It reminds me of something I read once about Will Rogers. You know, one day Will Rogers was entertaining at the Milton Berry Institute in Los Angeles, a hospital that specialized in rehabilitating polio victims and people with broken backs and other extreme physical disabilities. Of course, Rogers had everybody laughing, even those in bad condition. But then he suddenly left the platform and went into the restroom. Milton Berry followed him to give him a towel. When he opened the door, he saw Will Rogers leaning against the wall, sobbing like a child. Berry closed the door and left. And in a few minutes, Rogers appeared back on the platform again, jovial as before. But you see, Will Rogers hurt in behalf of those people for whom he was performing. Real men have always had tender hearts. They hurt when those around them are hurt. And if they can help, they do. This centurion was determined to help his servant. That was the kind of man that he was. But what could he do? He wasn't a doctor. And even if he had been, you know, that it was a primitive medicine in those days. And then he heard about Jesus. And we learned something else about this centurion. He was a man who respected other people's beliefs. The centurion heard that Jesus was a man who had the power of healing. He thought, maybe he can do something for my servant. And he made plans to seek Jesus' help. Instead of personally approaching the master, he sent a contingency of Jewish elders to plead the case for him. Here is what the elders said about the centurion. He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and he built a synagogue for us. Notice that not all Romans were oppressors. Here was a man with a power and authority, but he was a man who had respect for those who believed differently than himself. He even helped them build a synagogue. Today is supposed to be an era of the angry white male. Certainly, it's an era when intolerance is fashionable. Don't you get tired of the political opponents shouting at one another on television and radio and in the newspapers? But we need to know that not all males are inflexible and opinionated. Not all males want to keep women in their place. As far as I can tell, there's only one male stereotype that is accurate. Now get this, this is really something. And that is the fact that men do not ask directions. Someone had said that the Israelites would not have wandered in the desert for 40 years if Mrs. Moses had been in charge. I'm thankful that there is a new generation of men who are not angry. There are many men today who are supportive of their wives, men who respect the opinions of others, men who listen and care. I believe such men make better fathers and better husbands and better neighbors, and this centurion was that kind of a man. He respected others, and he was a man of genuine humility. Jesus was persuaded by the testimony of the elders, and he went with them. And when he got close to the house, the centurion sent friends to Jesus, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof." Can you believe this? Here's a man of wealth and power and authority, and he's saying, an itinerant Jewish teacher, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." Is there any quality more appealing in a man or a woman than genuine humility? I'm not talking about the offensive form of low self-esteem that causes persons to allow other persons to walk all over them. Certainly the centurion was no doormat, but he recognized Jesus' power, and he was humble enough to ask Jesus for help. During the 1770s, Dr. William Withering was one of the best doctors in England. As a scientist, he didn't believe in ghosts. Yet one day he was strolling through the village fair, and he thought he saw a ghost. And then he thought he saw another one, and still another. And he stared in amazement at these people. All these people had been very ill with a disease called dropsy, which caused liquid to form around the person's heart, leading to a heart attack. And he had worried about them. But as a good doctor as he was, he had no way to treat them. And when they left his office, he was sure that he'd never see any of them alive again. But there they were, and they all looked very healthy. They told him about a wonderful witch lady who lived out in the nearby woods. And this witch lady, they said, had prepared a special brew, which they insisted had cured them. Dr. Withering was a good scientist, and he knew the importance of investigating anything that sounded like a cure. He also knew that many remedies and medicines used by the midwives and the women healers, who were often called witches, could help cure illness and heal diseases and heal injuries. So he decided to visit the witch and see what brews she was concocting. Sure enough, when he got to her cottage, she was busy making up a dropsy remedy out of some 20 plants, roots, berries, and herbs. Dr. Withering asked for samples of her plants to study, and after several tests, he decided that the most powerful plant in her brew had to be the herb foxglove. He thought, what if there was something in the foxglove that cured the dropsy? And if so, what is it? Thanks to the good witch, who was a healer, Dr. Withering was able to use his knowledge of botany to isolate the ingredient in the foxglove plant called digitalis, which may well be one of the most important natural products ever discovered for medical use. Today, digitalis, in different forms, is still a lifesaver, used by doctors all over the world to help people with their heart problems. Many doctors would have looked with scorn on this crude form of alternative medicine performed by these witch doctors. But Dr. Withering was a humble man in the best sense of the word. He had an open mind. He was willing to accept their help. If the centurion had been a proud man, he would never have sent for Jesus. But he was a caring man, a man who respected the beliefs of others, a humble man, but he was also a man of faith. You know how the story ends. The centurion sends a message to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed." Do you get that? Just say the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to the multitude that followed him, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the centurion's house, they found the slave well. The centurion was a man who believed that Jesus could do what he said he would do. There are many of us who need that same faith today. Do you know what would help many families on this Father's Day? It would be for parents to trust Christ more. Some homes are tense. Tension in the home causes minor disagreements to escalate into heated arguments. Soon communication breaks down, resulting in sullenness and silence. Many parents need to take their problems to God in prayer. Then they feel the relax. They need to relax in the knowledge that God is able to work miracles in the human lives. It may take time, but if we make God a partner in the raising of our children, we will not live in a continuing panic that causes us to overreact. The Roman centurion was a caring man, a tolerant and humble man, a man of deep and genuine faith. How the world needs such men today, how wives need husbands like that today, and how children need such fathers. Let me read you part of a letter written by another famous soldier, General Norman Schwarzkopf, wrote these words to his family on the eve of the Gulf War. General Norman Schwarzkopf wrote, my dearest wife and children, the war clouds have gathered on the horizon and I have already issued the terrible orders that will let the monster loose. I wish with every fiber of my body that I would never have had to issue those commands, but it is now too late. And for whatever purpose God has, we will soon be at war. As a soldier who has had to go to war 3 times before, I want you to know that I'm not afraid. I know that I might face death, but you should know that I am far safer than most of the fine young men and women under my command. Some will die, many could die. I pray to God that this will not happen. But if it does, and if I am one of those chosen by God to sacrifice my life, I want you to know that my last thoughts before this terrible beginning are of you, my beloved family. Brenda, I have never been very eloquent with words, and far too guarded in expressing my love for you. I truly regret this, but it is the way I am. That is why I wanted more than anything else to write to you tonight and tell you how much you mean to me. I cannot tell you how many times I have thanked God that I married you, nor can I adequately tell you how many times you have made me so proud that you are my wife, especially during these past difficult 5 months. It has given me great strength to know that you were there, always there, taking care of our family and so many others. Thank you for that. And so many other things. The loving, the understanding, the forgiving, the helping, the caring, the supporting. Just being my Brenda, Pauline, Cindy, Jessica, and Christian, I hope you know how much I love you. The three of you have become the most important reason to me for being on this earth. I could lose everything I possess, and if I still had you, life would be worth living. I could be rich and famous and have everything I desire. But without you, my life would be meaningless. My heart would be empty, and I would not want to live. The three of you are my immortality. You are the best thing I will ever will leave behind when I leave this world. And you have each returned that love to me. I am a father who knows his children love him, and that makes me a very lucky man. As I told you at Christmas, I am so proud of each of you for what you each of you have and are. Be proud of yourself, for you are fine human beings. Thank you for being my children. Thank you for letting me be your father. Thank you for loving me. And now, take care of each other, love each other, and if it be God's will, we shall be together soon. If that should not happen, then know that wherever I am, I will be with each of you every day and always. Your loving husband and father, H. Norman Dad. Here's an expression at the real love of a father for his family. Wouldn't we all want to be a member of that family? Well, think about it. We as Christians are a member of the family of God. Think of God, our loving Heavenly Father, writing that letter to us. God loves each of us more than life itself, more than Norman Schwarzkopf loves his family. And God wants us to know that he loves us just as we are, and he wants to help us to have a really wonderful, happy life. And he wants us to love and care for each other. To become a member of God's family and experience the real love, the guidance of our loving Heavenly Father, all we have to do is ask God to come into our lives. And let's do it today in silent prayer. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. And God will come into our lives, and we will know God's love and forgiveness. Let's pray silently. Our loving Heavenly Father, we can feel your love in our lives. Forgive all of our sins of the past and lead and guide us in the way that you will bring us to a wonderful life filled with happiness and love. Bless each and every one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.